Hey, good morning. Welcome to Stockton Springs Community Church. I'm Pastor John Tabor, and things are a little bit different here because of the snowstorm. We're doing this all online, and so bear with us as we try to do this from my house, record this all out. But we wanted to really turn around our focus, and we've been talking about in the genealogies of Jesus Christ, there were some certain women, and Matthew is really clear on these women that are included in his genealogies. And of course, when Jesus starts talking about the women who are involved in here, it's really interesting because oftentimes the women aren't listed in the genealogies. And so it really brings to our attention the importance of what these ladies stand for. And leading into Christmas, we want to take a look at some of these ones that played a role and really how they were grafted into grace. And we talked about Rahab last week, that in here she was the lady with the past. She was the harlot, and yet God grafted her into grace and in here changed her and used her. We're going to talk this morning, we're going to be talking about Ruth and how Ruth was grafted into grace. Now, Ruth was a Moabite. She was not an Israelite, and yet she was taken and brought into the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And actually, through her, she was the great-grandmother of King David. And we see this brought in. And so, you know, as we start talking about these ladies and how important of a role they are, we see ourselves as we are grafted into God's grace. And so, why don't we go ahead and look at what Ruth really tells us about our relationship with God, talks about our redemption, if you will, in here. So Ruth is really that type of that redemption. We see this redemption really in a couple of different ways. One, we have that need of redemption. Why do we need redemption? Redemption has the idea of buying back. Up here in Maine, we often use the terminology of take your bottles and cans to the redemption center, right, where they buy it back from you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life to buy us back. We are lost. Truly, we are lost. We are separated from God. And Ruth was separated from God. In here, she was a Moabite, outside of what was considered God's grace for Israel. And so she turns around and she marries into the family, into Naomi. Actually, Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Starts off this way. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man from Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." It says, "Now they took wives of the women of Moab, and one was named Orpah, and the other was named Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. I just want to stop right there, because as we carry about and we talk about how these women were brought in. They were brought in by marriage. There was a famine in the land, circumstances outside their control, and in here went down to Moab because there was food there. And while they're there, there's Naomi's sons married, and one of them married Ruth. Well, then the Bible says here at the end, it says what? The husbands died. Actually, not only did Naomi's husband die, but then her sons died, and they left the two daughter-in-laws with her. And so in here, we look at this culture, and really a woman had no rights and no privileges outside of her husband. She was a woman who was in need, a desperate need. That in here, she didn't have much. So what happened was Ruth was decided that she was going to go and head back home. And it says, verse 8 and 9, it says, "And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-laws, 'Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord will deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead with me. And the Lord granted that you may find rest each in the house of her husband.'" And basically what Naomi said, "Look, I have nothing, right? My husband's dead. I have nothing to offer you. That in here, you know, I'm in debt back home. So why don't you guys go back to your families? Go back. And they'll deal well with you." And so we see the one daughter going home, but Ruth turns around and says something totally different. says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me. And more so, if anything but death parts you from me. And Ruth turns around and says, look, I want what you have. I'm willing to turn around from my country. I'm turning around from my past. And I'm going to follow you. And Naomi, I'm going to be faithful to you. So, what the future laid ahead for Ruth? She didn't know. Once again, two ladies didn't have much at all. And that reminds us of us, our need of redemption. The Bible's real clear. In the book of Isaiah, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. We've all strayed. We are all wandering from God's righteousness, right? None of us are good enough. Now, you may say, Pastor, well, I'm better than you. You might be, but I'm not the standard, right? Actually, if there's any doubt, the book of Romans goes even further. It says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one's perfect. God's standard's here. We are all fall short of that. We need redemption. Our sins separate us from God. It says, look, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, and they have put together and become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Well, you might say, hey, I'm a little bit good. That's not it. The Bible says if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of them all. That the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The whole point, we're coming into this Christmas season, the whole point of Jesus coming here was to save us from our sins. We are a people who are in need of redemption. And as Christians, we acknowledge, I'm not perfect. That in here, I need God. Just as Ruth wanted and needed someone to help her, we're in that same condition. We are all in desperate need of being bought back. We are held captive by sin. We are held captive by our desires. And we cannot break free of these things. I am guilty, and I need that redemption. And you're in the same boat. And so in here, as we look at as we see Ruth, we can follow this story quite easily that we are a lot much like Ruth. We are on the outside. We were born separated from God, right? It doesn't matter if you grew up going to the church or it doesn't matter if you didn't. That in here, we all need to come to Christ on our own. We are separated from God from birth, and our sin just compounds that issue. So we are all in need of redemption. And what happens oftentimes that we can be like the Pharisees and get all puffed up and say, hey, I'm so righteous. I'm not like that sinner over there. Right? And what happens is that pride keeps us from that salvation that God offers us. Then in here, as we yield ourselves to him, he will redeem us. But we need to first acknowledge that we are in need of that redemption. And Ruth saw that in her life. I can't go back to my people. Lord, Naomi, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with your people and your God. Right? I'm going to follow you to the land. And even though Naomi didn't have anything. And so this leads us to the next point, is God has a plan of redemption. Right? As we acknowledge our need for it, God has a plan. We can't save ourselves. Right? The Bible says, our righteousness are as filthy rags. The best I can do still falls short of what God demands. But luckily, it's God's plan for our redemption. And so we see this in Ruth's life. As she comes back to Israel. And because of that, there was nothing they could do. Actually, they were so poor that they would actually go out and glean in the fields. And what would happen was the farmers would go through and they would leave the grain, they'd pick, but of course, some of it was always left behind. And the law, God had set up the law such that, they were supposed to leave what was there and leave it for the poor so the poor could go and pick it. When we were up north, we did potato picking. We'd pick potatoes. And after the farmers would leave the field, people would come, and my family did this a couple of times. We'd go out into the field, and we would pick up the potatoes that were left over. And it's amazing, you know, how much kind of gets left behind. And so that's what Ruth was doing. Ruth was going out, and she was picking the grain off of the field. And she came across a certain gentleman who owned the field, whose name was Boaz. And unbeknownst to Ruth, Boaz was a relative of hers. And that's really important to realize how God is in control. This is God's plan. Ruth didn't pick this up because of Boaz. She didn't realize who he was. Actually, we see this that in chapter 2 of Ruth, that the story goes on and says her mother-in-law said to her, this is Naomi, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." See, what happened was while she was doing this, the scripture tells us that Boaz saw her. Actually, he was attracted to her. And so in here, he told the folks, "Hey, leave a little extra behind." And also, he talked to Ruth and said, "Hey, you know what? Don't worry about going anywhere else. Why don't you stay and just glean my fields? That'll be enough." And you being a woman who's out in the fields, it's a dangerous place for you. You know what? Don't go anywhere else, and I'll have my people watch out for you. Not only that, but if you're thirsty, you know what? My folks have water, and we will provide water for you. See, Boaz was taking her and watching out for her, and Ruth didn't seek this out. This was God's provision for her, right? God's redemption is God's plan. It's God's way, and we see this playing out in Ruth's life. In Ruth chapter 2 continues, it says, "So he told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name of whom I worked today was Boaz.'" And Naomi says, "Hey, the lights go on." And then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relative of ours, one of our close relatives." And that's really important for our narrative. But it's interesting, at this point, Ruth didn't know. The Lord led Ruth to the right place at the right time, to the right people. God's provision, right? We can try to do it ourselves. We can try to do all that we can. And yet, folks, we need to realize that we need to surrender our lives to God. It's His plan and redemption. God will provide. God will take care. We talk about Boaz, why this is so important, because there's a thing called the kinsman redeemer. And this is kind of a quirky little Old Testament law. But basically what happened was when God gave Israel the land, he divvied it up among the 12 tribes. And each family got some land. And the Bible says that, look, if it was sold or because of your need or whatever happened, that in here that a relative could buy it back to keep it in the family. And so, as we see this the kinsman redeemer, this Goel, was one that was set to redeem, to bring back into the family things that were sold out of it. Well, because Boaz was a close relative, he qualified to be that redeemer. It's interesting that God had made these plans. God had made a way for this land to go back, of this accumulation sort of wealth that belonged to a family to be brought back. It's God's plan. And God has laid out a plan for us to redeem us. It's His plan, not by our own desires. Galatians tells us that when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that He might receive the adoption of sons. I love this verse, especially as this is actually probably one of my favorite Christmas verses. You can say, well, Pastor, this isn't really a Christmas verse. Yes, it is. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Talk about Jesus Christ coming that Christmas morn. At the right time, God sent His Son into this world. Why? To redeem. There we go, that redemption. To redeem those who were under the law. That's us. We've broken God's laws. We have lied. We have cheated. Right? We have evil thoughts and desires in our lives, that we are separated from God. And so God has set out a plan, and that's all through Jesus Christ, to redeem us, that we might not just be redeemed, but also that we become His sons through this adoption. Just as God has set out this plan for Ruth through Boaz to be brought back into the family, to bring back into that heritage and that inheritance that is laid out for him. God has provided for himself a way of redemption through his son, not of what we can do. It's God's plan. Remember that, right? Romans tells us this, having been justified freely by his grace, by Jesus Christ, that through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the redemption we have, we receive from him, is a free gift. We don't have to be good enough. We don't have to be qualified. We don't have to be approved. It is a free gift to all of us that he is the one who justifies. He is he who redeems us. We don't save ourselves. He saves us. Peter goes this thought even a little bit further. Says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of our fathers. Right? It's not what we have. God doesn't look into our banking account. It's not how much we give into the offering plate. It's not all these deeds, even some of the traditions. It's not the religiosity, right? It's not being religious. It's not going to church. It's not giving to the poor. It's not those things that save us, because it can never do that, remember? It's God's plan, and he redeems us. And so this verse continues on. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's that Christ died on the cross. Right? He came on that Christmas, but he didn't stay an infant. He grew and lived a perfect life who didn't deserve any punishment at all. And yet he went to the cross to die for you and for me. That's God's plan of redemption. He died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again to give us that freedom, that give us that life, to redeem us. That's his great plan. That's his salvation. It's all his provision. All we have to do is accept it. And that brings us down to the last point. Here, God has brought Ruth and Boaz together. That here, Ruth finds out that he is the kinsman redeemer. He is one who's qualified to redeem her, to bring her back into fellowship, and all those things that go along with that. But a lot of people, when we talk about God and our redemption, we understand that God died for our sins, and we understand that it's through his blood we have that forgiveness of sins. But the offer's on the table, right? Just as Ruth with Boaz, she finds all this out, but unless something happens, until these two get together, that at this point, it's sort of mute, right? If Boaz is there and Ruth is there, something has to happen. And here we see this pursuit of redemption. We need to accept that. And so what happens is Naomi has a plan, and in here she talks about that. She says this. Says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is willing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be that when he lies down, you will notice the place where he lies, and you go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. So here's the plan. Ruth, go out, find out where Boaz is. He is the hope, right? He is the route to your security, to that safety, to that redemption that we also so seek. Find out where he goes. And actually, he's working in a field. And so find out where he is. Let him eat, let him drink, let him go down. You freshen yourself up. And when you find out where he is, go in and uncover his feet and then lay down at the foot of his bed. Now, this seems kind of odd, and some people want to make more of it when it is, but actually, this is a pretty clever thing. Because what she's doing is she's finding out where she is, where Boaz is, and then by uncovering his feet, by wee hours of the morning, he's going to get cold, right? Your feet's uncovered, and he's going to get cold, and that's going to startle him. And when he wakes up, he will see you and he'll discover you there. right? Don't go in there demanding, right? Don't go in there insisting. Let this play out from him to you. And we see this really as we have this picture of Christ with us, right? He is one who offers. We have no right to demand. We have no right to insist. God doesn't have to do anything for me, yet his mercy and grace he does. And so this plan of redemption, but we pursue it truly. Do I want that forgiveness of sin? Do I want to have a relationship with Christ? And that's a choice you need to make. He has done all the work. He has laid down all these things. And now it is up to you if you want to accept that or not. So here's the scene. Ruth goes in and uncovers Boaz's feet as he's sleeping. He lays down, and halfway through the night, he starts stirring around. He's getting cold, and he wakes up. Here we are. It says, now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there was a woman lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" Of course, it was dark, right? And she answered, says, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." What she asks him is, look, put me under your protection, right? I need that redemption for my family. So in here, take me and cover me, protect me. And what he's really saying is, marry me. And aren't you a close relative? You're the one who's qualified. Folks, as we look out into this world and we see all these things that are trying to pull us away, my desire is for Christ to seek him out and say, Lord, save me. You are the only one. It's interesting because at this case, Boaz, he says, wait a minute, there is a relative who is more qualified, who's closer related. And so the next day he goes in, he goes, look, I'm going to confront this guy and say, does he want to redeem you? And it's interesting because this guy's interested in the land, but he's not interested in Ruth. Right, he's not interested in the person. He's interested in the stuff. And Boaz says, no. Here's the deal. You got to have them both. In order to get the land, you got to get the lady. And he goes, well, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. So open the way for Boaz. At the end of the day, Boaz was the only one. Because of his love for Ruth, he was willing to marry her. He was willing to redeem her. He was able to take his wealth and buy back the land and in here make her whole again. Folks, if we look around in this world, it's only Christ who is qualified. There's a lot of other things that want our attentions, that want our affections, but it's only through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who's qualified. That in here, he loves you beyond what anyone else does. He died on the cross for you, to save you, to have a relationship with you. This is so much deeper than just a religion. This is deeper than any other relationship we have, that Christ is solely able to save and redeem. Do you want that? And will we yield ourselves to that salvation that's offered to us, to pursue it and say, will you do this, Lord? Will you take me and put me under your protection, if you will? Will you make me into your family? Will you come into my heart? Will you come into my life and make me whole? Because you're the only one who can. And so each one of us has to make the decision for ourselves. You're not saved because of your grandparents. You're not saved because of the good things you've done. But each one of us has to make that personal decision that, Lord, I want you in my life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And Lord, come into my heart, come into my life, save me, forgive me of my sins, and Lord, help me to live for you. That redemption, he has done all the work. We just need to accept it. We need to pursue that as Ruth did. Jeremiah tells us this. It says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The Lord wants us to find him. He's not hard to find. Right? Even now, if you're listening to this, he has offered that to you today, right now, to say, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. That's it. If you will seek him, you will find him. That in here, Romans tells us, this is Paul, says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord will never turn anyone away. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know what I've done. You don't know you know, the sin I've done. You don't know the shame of my reproach. I don't know. It doesn't matter what all these things are. Just like Ruth, you are in need of redemption. And he has redeemed you. And he will save you. It's his work. You just have to accept it. And that's what Ruth did. Boaz did all the work. He was the only one who was qualified. She just pursued it. And she asked him, Lord, Boaz, put me under your protection. I need you to be my redeemer. Lord, you need to be my redeemer. I can't save myself, Lord. I need you. Oh, Jesus put it himself this way. This is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, he has done it all. For God so loved the world, he loves you, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, born as a babe at that Christmas. But he died on the cross and rose again that Easter. All these things to redeem you. You are in need of redemption, just as Ruth was. It was God's plan for redemption. God had laid down all the groundwork. He had brought Ruth and Boaz together. He had laid all these things out. It's his plan. This plan of salvation is his. We don't have to save ourselves. It's his plan of salvation. But will you pursue it? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He offers that salvation to you, to redeem you, to buy you back, to free you from your sin and your shame, that eternal condemnation of hell, but give you his eternal glory in heaven with him. It's all him. And he offers it if we will accept it. And that's each one of us needs to do. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you done that? You can say, Pastor, I believe that Jesus is God. Great. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. Fantastic. But have you ever accepted him? Asked him into your heart and your life. Made that personal decision from you that from here on out, Lord, I want to follow you. That's the gospel. To pursue it, to claim it, not to earn it. Ruth didn't earn anything, but she went to the one that could redeem him and asked him. Will you ask Christ into your life today? And maybe you have. And how much joy should be brought in here? Ruth was brought into that relationship. Her family was restored because of the Redeemer. Then in so much so, we see back here in Matthew, she now becomes an heir of Christ, that she is now brought into the family. She is grafted into that grace, just as we are, if you will accept him. We are all in need of a redeemer. God has provided a way to redeem us. We just need to pursue that, to accept that redemption. I pray you've done that. It doesn't have to be a fancy prayer or a very simple thing, but just acknowledgement that Jesus, I believe that you are God. You died on the cross for my sins. And Lord, my sin has separated myself from you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, Lord. Help me to live for you. And he promises he will do that. What an amazing story this story of Ruth is. But it is such a wonderful picture of the love story of Christ to you. And to his church, that no matter what, he redeems. He redeems. And he brings these ladies in and grafts them into his grace. And that's what he wants to do to you. He wants to love you and bring you into his grace. If you'll accept that today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the story of Ruth. We thank you for the picture of that need of being redeemed. Lord, for the provision of that redemption. And Lord, the acceptance of that offer. Lord, I pray for those who are listening, who are Christians, Lord, who have said a prayer, who have asked you into their lives, Lord, that in here you will help us to live out these truths every day. Lord, that we will live for Christ, the one who redeemed us. Lord, I pray for those who have never heard this before, or have never made that personal decision, Lord, today will be that day. Today will be that day of salvation where they will accept you and the work that you have done. No sin is so great you cannot forgive. Lord, we thank you as we head into this Christmas season to remember the reason why you came, to redeem sinners. Lord, we thank you for us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, we thank you for joining us. All right, keep following us along on Facebook, and may God bless you. Remember, God loves you, and so do I.